Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Perfect. Getting closer.
Little by little.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can see that Eric actually has a new mic set up for this podcast.
I do. I bought a new microphone. Looks for nice. Microphone stuff.
Listen to that silky smooth voice coming through your ears.
Check out that timbre.
I can actually see half of the apparatus on his video feed right now. So I only assume that he's going to be doing knockoff Joe Rogan podcast now.
Ooh.
Or ASMR. Give us a taste, Eric.
Eric, play the music. And welcome to another soothing episode of 12 Points from America, Eurovision podcast from America, a country that's inventing new and exciting ways to drink water. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny. What exciting ways are we drinking water now?
Two hands, one hand.
Oh,
I see it all.
New methods of drinking water.
It was topical humor.
I thought you were trying to tell us that you're now figuring out a way to drink through your skin like a frog.
It's going to have to be topical so that you can apply it to the sick burn you just doled out.
That's right. Take that, America.
How's everybody doing? We're good?
Fine. It's less hot today than it was for like the past 10 days.
True.
Truly.
Yeah, today was nice.
Mm-hmm. Rather pleasant. Well, okay, we've done the Minnesota thing of talking about the weather.
That's it. All right, now we just have to linger for about 10 minutes before actually leaving. Sam, tell them how to complain about it.
Well, you could yell at us on social media at Twitter or Facebook at 12pointsUSA. Or you could check us out directly by sending us a message on email, that thing with the E's and the mails, at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Or you could scope at our website, 12pointsfromamerica.com. We also have a brand spanking new addition to our slowly but surely expanding media empire, and that is a Redbubble site.
That's right. Watch out, Viacom.
We're going to take over the world, one witty design at a time. Eric has taken the time and his little creative juices and splashed them onto a t-shirt. Much for our amusement.
Why did you put it that way?
Eric, I don't know. I'm tired.
Please start talking, Eric. Please.
Okay. If you want to get a shirt that contains none of my juices, you can go to redbubble.com. That's just the word red and the word bubble.com. And look up 12 Points USA or 12 Points from America. Either way, you'll see us. You'll see our fantastic, adorable 12 Points from America logo, which I recently realized looks a heck of a lot like the Only Connect logo. Whoops.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
Victoria Corn Mitchell, friend of the show.
That's right. And you can check out a couple of things. We have a stock photo of Ludwig van Beethoven wearing a visor, and it says, I am a composer. If you would like that shirt, you can buy that. We also have a bunch of different things with the 12 Points for America logo on it. You can get stickers. You can get T-shirts, water bottles, hoodies, mugs, throw pillows, tote bags, probably some other stuff. I don't remember. But yeah, check it out. Proceeds go to help us put the show together. And we're also giving as much as we can to charities in Europe and in America to help out with all of the great things that are happening in the world right now. So yeah, go to redbubble.com, look up 12 Points from America, and check out some of our wares.
And you can wear some of our wares too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wear squared, wearception.
Anyway.
Sorry. Yeah, it's been a long day, guys.
Yeah.
We have some news. Is that right?
We do. It's June, but we have a surprising amount of Eurovision related happenings, it appears.
Mm-hmm. Where do you want to start?
I want to start with LEGO Eurovision because it's amazing. Ooh. If you don't know, LEGO Eurovision is like Eurovision, but with LEGO. And that's it. No, there's a gentleman, somebody Sam knows.
Yep, Alexander Kroger. We actually worked together behind the scenes at Junior Eurovision for a couple of years. Great guy.
He renders, designs, builds, however you want to put it, and animates a facsimile of the Eurovision Song Contest semifinals and final. For this one in particular, he had to kind of guesstimate what would happen. Just kind of interesting.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Saw him put together guess points and so on and so forth and pick a winner of his own volition. You know who won LEGO Eurovision?
Was it the audience at home?
It's the real friends we made along the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Who won?
Well, as far as countries go, Bulgaria was the winner of LEGO Eurovision, which was a little bit of a surprise. That's still a perfectly great song, but I was surprised to see it win. Iceland was up there. Lithuania was up there. Russia was up there. But Bulgaria won, and by a pretty good margin. I want to say. So congratulations to LEGO Bulgaria on winning LEGO Eurovision.
I can't wait to see how LEGO Russia would have looked. I mean, they move as much as LEGO's any.
It was shockingly real life. Shockingly
it was great. It was really great. Just Google LEGO Eurovision. Check them out. They've got all the socials and things like that. But it's really seriously well done. And I cannot even imagine the amount of work that goes into it. So please give that a look. It is in our days of quarantine, I have become somewhat of a LEGO enthusiast. So this really just combines all the things I like, both of them.
The two things, LEGO and Eurovision.
That's right.
There you go. All you need is like a cat walking around in the background and somebody drinking a gin and tonic. And that's like, you've hit the quadrifecta.
I'm set. I'm set for life.
There you go.
I mean, anything else as long as I live. What else we got?
We've got a little bit of news about potentially what is happening or what is not happening for Eurovision 2021. Mm-hmm. We've heard from the French broadcaster that they are not going for the internal selection for Tom Lieb. They will be bringing back their much beloved national final.
With no Lieb.
No Lieb.
It's Lieb free.
Yes.
Oh, thank God. I don't even want to give him a second chance. Like,
oh,
I really don't.
I would be curious to see what else he would come up with, but.
Glam rock. Tom Lieb doing glam rock. That's what I want to
see. I do have a question. Was there and this might be getting just a tiny bit off track. Was there a
what,
song?
What, us off track? What?
Was there a song that was more hated than Tom's song from this year?
By who?
I mean, it would be saying something that, you know, since it didn't actually go to competition.
I don't think there was anything really hated. I think there was more ignored.
Yeah.
Virulently
ignored. Because, you know, I think when a song at Eurovision is panned, it at least sparks a reaction.
Yeah.
I think this just kind of slid by.
You're right. We don't look at it. We don't think about it. It's like the bye-bye man.
We also hear sort of similar news out of Croatia that they will be confirming their national final, Dora, will be held again next year as normal, like they did for this year. But Demir Kedzo is not automatically being selected. We don't know if he's going to try again. Maybe mm-hmm. he could. It's not a done deal for him. He probably could go back if he wanted to, but he doesn't have any sort of fast pass or any sort of special treatment for it. So
I think that would be the fairest way to deal with a lot of these countries that send their national final winner to Eurovision, is to just sort of, I feel like it would be most fair if they just gave these people who won the finals this year an auto pass to the finals of this year, of this upcoming year. Mm-hmm. Then, like, the voting audience can actually decide which one is better. I feel like that's okay.
Yeah. And some countries have tried to offer that. Like Norway, they were going to offer that option to Ulrika, and she actually turned it down.
Oh.
Yeah. She's like, you know what? I'll just come back next year with a follow-up single as the reigning champion. Don't have to worry about the competition. I don't have to worry about losing face or anything like that. I'm moving on. I'm moving forward. Maybe some other year I'll compete again. But
she'll be back.
She's got her attention. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point she's going to need more attention.
I did not read this, but it looks like somebody had jotted down in our little shared document that Athena Manoukian has been dropping some hints.
Yes, that was me. She did a sort of an AMA on Instagram sort of thing, like an Instagram story. And somebody said, are you coming back for 2021? And her response was not like, yeah or no. It was, shh.
Oh, it was winky face, picture of a lighthouse, stock market graph going up, and a CD.
Stonks. Ooh. Yeah.
I don't, you know. Oh.
And we all know what that
cryptic.
Means.
Yeah, I think we all know what that means.
Yeah, supposedly the rumor has been that they have already internally decided to bring her back, but they just haven't announced it. And
I hope they give her a different song at least. I mean, they'll have to. Send
even
her to
more
it again
chains
just for her to get auto-disqualified. That was Bob Dylan sings Chains on You. Yeah.
No, please, Danny, continue. Yeah, I need to say
more.
I'm going to get my chains on you. Chin.
That was the acoustic.
Ah.
Wow.
Thank you. Please move on. Please.
That was worth the Nobel and the Marcel Bezanson Award in one go right there. Mm-hmm. That was glory.
Thank you. Beautiful. I'm very sad because it looks like Eurovision again, at least for the immediate future, will not be againing with us.
Yeah, it looks like after 15 weeks of amazing Saturday afternoon for us, Saturday evening over in the UK and Europe and parts elsewhere, entertainment, it turns out Rob Holly does have a life and he'd like to, you know, continue having his Saturday nights free. And who can blame him? This was Me. Just, yeah. Okay, fine.
I can. There's like 40 we haven't done.
He's not saying it's going away forever. It just might be more of a periodic, you know, little special thing. You know, we don't want it to lose its glitz. And there are some years that are better than others.
I want to see one of the years where Yugoslavia wins.
89? Right? Are you sure?
Just the one.
All right. Well, we did have a really, really great one this past week, 2008, which is one of my favorite contests ever. Just looking at the list for that, just banger after banger after banger after.
Is that Finland? Bop.
No, it was in Serbia.
Oh, it's a Finland win.
No. It was the Russian win, but Russia did not win on the Eurovision Again vote. That was actually given to second place winner Ukraine with Shady Lady, which in my opinion is Philip Kirkorov's finest hour. That one will be available on Eurovision.tv or the Eurovision official YouTube channel, I believe, more permanently. So go and watch that if you haven't already. It's a fantastic contest and so good. So good. But yes, so as a weekly occurrence, Eurovision Again is stopping, but we'll see what happens in the future. I think Rob Holly is going to be announcing what the next steps are during this Saturday's event.
I see.
Yeah.
I heard it described as a season finale at one point.
Oh. Okay.
So perhaps Netflix will pick it up for season two.
Oh, gosh.
Hulu. Hulu's the one that's resurrecting shows these days.
Yeah.
Well, fair. fair.
So somebody has been keeping tabs on a couple of new releases from some familiar faces. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
What you got?
It's just Eric over here. Maybe.
It seems like every week there's some cool Eurovision artist has a new song out or a new EP or something like that. And over the last week or so, there have been a few interesting ones. Kano, the winners from 2019.
In a matter of speaking.
Citation needed. Winners in Our Hearts, Kano released a cover of I Want to Dance with Somebody.
It was great.
Really great. By the time you will hear this, Victoria, the winner of LEGO Eurovision, will have a new single, her first post Eurovision cycle song. Excited for that. Eleni Ferreira, another one of our favorites, has a summer bop that's out. That is
Eleni Ferreira coming out with a bop? What?
Trying new things.
Will wonders never cease.
But there's another one that is, I think, even more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a name we haven't talked about in a while.
Oh, God.
But an old friend of the show.
Oh, God.
Has a new release, which means it's time.
Oh, Maroon Watch. I was scared. I thought we were going to go to Serhat, which is more of like a Serhat sentry, like an actual watch. Like we're at the guard station. We need to make sure he doesn't get through. But Maroon can come on. What do we got from Maroon?
Maroon has a new song. Came out last week.
Mm-hmm.
It is as horny as ever.
Yes.
It's horny, sweaty, neon light.
Yep.
What is it?
All of those. It is called I Want You. It is not a Savage Garden cover. It's an original. But it's with her and Boosin, who she did a whole album with a couple of years ago. So before Siren Song and all that business. It's very Maroon and it's very good. And Maroon is back.
Yay. But now I kind of want a cover of her doing Savage Garden's I Want You.
I know. As soon as you said that, I was like, I want to hear it now.
Like, that would be incredible, actually. Get some farty trumpets going.
You got the ring.
Get that, like, husky, mm-hmm. that husky kind of monotone in the verse there. Oh, she'd rock that. Maroon, you're hearing this, we have another side project for you.
Mm-hmm. Just find every song called I Want You and record it. You've done your own. Now do the rest.
That's the Beatles.
That's a concept
now.
Album right there.
Oh, Maroon doing I Want You, She's So Heavy.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, man, that would be... Can you imagine breakdowns of that?
Just mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah.
She herself plays the Hammond organ solo. It's mm-hmm. pretty ripping.
Well, that concludes this edition of Maroon Watch.
Maroon Watch.
What else
we got? I've missed Maroon Watch. Well, we are in a bit of a countdown mode. We are awaiting with bated breath the release, the unleashing of Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga, coming this Friday. So basically the day that this podcast drops, Netflix will unleash unto the world the the Will Ferrell film about our beloved contest.
Verb.
Unleash, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a couple of teasers. I mean, teasing in a couple of respects. One that, you know, the thing is out. A couple of trailers are out as well. So we're sort of teasing that itself, telling people to go watch it. But also, we're going to have a review show on it.
Uh-huh. Pair of them, actually. Looks
review
like
might, I don't know, depending on how it turns out, review might be the kindest word for what we do to this movie.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't
the current
been
trajectory
blessed
of Will Ferrell's career.
I mean, we haven't been blessed with any sort of, pre-release footage of anything that people don't have access to already. Some websites probably have gotten an advanced copy. So we have really no idea what we're really fully in for. We just have this impending feeling of doom, which is standard nowadays. So it could just be regular.
I feel like that's fitting of just Iceland's entries anyway.
And just, current events. But yeah, so we actually are going to have a crossover episode, our very, very first. We're super excited. We're going to be collaborating with our friends over at Euro
The Joe
what?
Rogan podcast.
Oh, no. Okay. God damn it, Danny.
With Maruv. Yeah.
I wish.
Now it's Euro what? Euro
yes.
what?
Yes. Our friends both in the American Eurovision fan circuit, as well as the trivia circuit, it turns out. Good guys over there. Yeah, so we're actually going to be doing a two-part episode. Half of it will be on our lovely little home podcast here. Half of it will be hosted over at EuroWhat. So if you don't already listen to them, give them a listen. If you are listening to us through EuroWhat, having gotten a plug from them, hi, welcome.
From the past.
Ooh.
It's all a part of the 12 Points from America extended universe that will be sprawling out, branching out into TV, radio, and coming soon, a dying medium, newsprint.
Somehow Howard the Duck fits into it as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm planning on committing a minor crime that'll get listed in various locals. So I promise it'll be interesting.
Ooh.
Just make sure that when you do, you plug the podcast.
I will. Yes, it'll be like, okay. You know, all right. Danny Vopapa of 12 Points from America.
Okay, sounds good.
Was incarcerated on June 29th. That'll be it.
Oh, dear. Yeah, we've got a little bit more information about it. We've had the song from Fire
Saga.
The
central song from,
Volcano Man was released a couple weeks back. But we've had some Eurovision artists actually release their own cover versions of Volcano Man. So we've had covers from Jamala. We've had cover from Alexander Rybak, Estonian operatic soprano Elina Nechayeva, Anna, other person who plays in the sandbox, Obadescu, Dadi Freyr himself.
I saw.
And Scooch, as in flying Scooch? The flag, Scooch.
Oh my God, really?
They haven't been like banned from music?
Is that...
they've crawled their way back in.
Okay. I'll be Volcano Man for you. That's just how it's going to be the entire time. It'll probably be... Why do they let people like that continue to just exist on an artistic level? I'm so mad at England to begin with. Just, oh my God, how?
And it's just England. We cannot blame Scotland, Wales, or Northern Ireland for this.
They're fine. Yeah. Bring them back.
Yes.
I'm not faulting Sarah McTiernan. No one. Bring them back. Great.
This is a lot of star power they're bringing in to push this movie.
I'm telling you, my theory about this movie is going to pan out. This is the foot in the door for the American public.
I'm scared, though.
They're going to be like, hey, it's that campy thing from the movie they made.
But is that the image that we really want new fans to see?
Listen.
And when they actually watch the real thing, will they be disappointed? When it's like, no, you could also have things like Jean-Guy McCroy and Salvador Sobral.
To be fair, I was disappointed in semi-professional basketball when I was inspired to watch it after seeing the Will Ferrell masterpiece Semi-Pro.
Is that like the second semi-pro reference we've had on this podcast?
Are we going to keep talking about Semi-Pro?
3000 before.
Oh, yeah. Goodness, next week we'll be talking more about the Will Ferrell and Andre 3000 masterpiece Semi-Pro.
Anyway, for more hot takes about Eurovision Song Contest, the story of Fire Saga, tune in to our episode, our next episode, as well as the episode coming up from our friends over at Euro What?
If they access us on 12 Points from America or on their favorite podcast thing, we'll provide them with information next week on how to get to that episode.
Absolutely.
Yes. It'll be great.
So I want blind predictions here. Mm. How good/bad is this movie going to be? If you have to guess right now, which you do.
I'm going
to
guess it is going to be unbearably middling, actually. I'm saying it's going to be fine in some parts. It's going to be just boring in some other parts. It's going to be like that Will Ferrell movie from earlier this year, Downhill. It's going to be fine, but boring.
I think it's going to be a disaster. It's going to be like that Onion article, gay pride parade sets back mainstream acceptance of gays 10 years.
Wow.
I think people are going to look at this and be like, this Eurovision thing sucks. That's my biggest fear. I mean, if it's middling, I think that'd be the best possible outcome based on the trailer.
A big joke. Well, I mean, to be honest, if people only have a passing knowledge of Eurovision here in the States, it is kind of as a campy joke.
Yeah, true. And that is sort of the global image of it, even for countries that are having a bit more of a bit more exposure to it. Like, you ask your average Australian and they're not necessarily thinking of Eurovision as like I said, the Salvador Sobral's, the Jean McCroy's. They're seeing, oh my gosh, that's so Eurovision. They want camp, they want the glitz, they want the kino, which granted, you know, I'm fine with kino, but they want the camp. And there is a place for that. I wish they had sort of a companion piece to the movie of like a sort of behind the scenes, like introduction, like crash course in Eurovision that they would serve up as, if you like this, watch this. Or just, you know, hopefully they'll have from the movie that they'll segue, if you're watching it on Netflix, to watching the actual contest in the US anyway. Yeah,
they do have the 2019 contest.
Exactly.
I think
so. Hopefully they link that up at least so people can make up their own minds.
Honestly, now that you mention it, like a 30, 45 minute documentary on Eurovision, I think would be the best thing for the show. Like, yeah. If I had no idea what Eurovision was and I'd kind of heard about it in passing, and there's this movie coming out with Will Ferrell, and they put out, like, Netflix just put together this quick, like, primer on what is Eurovision and what does it entail that you could watch while folding socks, it would go a long
no
way.
No other time.
It would go a long way into getting people up to speed than asking them, hey, can you watch this 3.5 hour song contest show?
Yeah, I agree. That's just a great way to kind of dip your toe in the pool. But it should be made by people who really do love the show and really understand what it's about, the whole breadth and depth of it. Like, yeah, there is some camp to it, but there's also, you know, there's a wide variety of music and a wide variety of history that goes into it.
The show is a pageant. It's notably diverse in both culturally diverse and artistically diverse.
Yeah.
Because you get quality stuff level, and you get garbage.
Yeah. I just don't want people going into it thinking that it's all garbage, which is funny because looking at the details that have been released about the movie's soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. Oh, not garbage.
I mean, the vast majority of the songs have been created especially for the movie. So we have no idea what it's going to be other than Volcano Man, which we know what that sounds like. There is one actual Eurovision song that has been listed onto the soundtrack.
Ooh, what is it? Is it Dancing Lascia Tumbai?
It's Amar Pelos Deutsch.
Really?
So yeah, the archetypal fireworks, snow feelings, yes. The song from the artist that you would not have expected to come back to this kind of thing. Salvador Sobral, Amar Pelos Deutsch. Supposedly he has a cameo as a street performer in the movie.
Good for him. I can't wait.
I hope there are tons of those.
Exactly. I hope that this is like a 1956 is around the world in 80 days kind of thing, where it's just like spot the cameo, make sure that you can find the weird Eurovision's adjacent celebrity that we're going to have. I just know that Alexander Rybak is going to get his fiddle playing dick in this movie somewhere. Like, it's going to be there. I wonder if we'll just get a little aside from Maruv. Maybe we build up Maruv more than the actual Eurovision community is. But I wonder if we're going to see like some Netta. Like, I can just imagine that there might be like spot the cameos here and there every
day. Yeah. I mean, like Graham Norton appears in the preview.
Yeah, well, that's as himself. He has a spot in the movie. I think he's going to be presented. He's going to be in character as himself.
The fact that Amar Pelos Deutsch is on the soundtrack honestly gives me a little bit more hope. My biggest hope with this is that it presents Eurovision as it actually is.
It's capable of legitimate artistic heights.
Well, that it's just capable of all kinds of different things. And my concern is that they're not going to do that. It's going to be a caricature of Eurovision and one that conforms to what people already see it as. But, and if I had to make a prediction, that's exactly what they're going to do. I feel like that it's not going to be very good, and it's going to really, Euro fans are just going to really hate it because they're not going to like the way it portrays their contest. But if Salvador's music is in it, maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe.
I also hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. I'm also thinking to myself, how many NASCAR fans, when it was announced that Ferrell was doing Talladega Nights, we're thinking, oh, he's just going to portray us as, you know, X, Y, or Z, or make fun of this community that I love so much, this sport, this event that I'm so deeply involved in. NASCAR didn't really feel any hit from it.
But everybody knew what NASCAR was.
Exactly. Well, that, oh, yes. That's a good point, that, you know, people know what NASCAR is. They don't necessarily know what Eurovision. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like even if they ran that movie in Europe, they know what NASCAR is just by proxy. I'm trying to think of a foreign practice that we could make an American movie about that nobody would be like, the hell is this?
Yeah. I mean, that's really the core of what makes me really concerned is that this is going to be a lot of people's first impression of Eurovision, is this fictional movie. And I hope that it at least sells it as something cool and interesting and has the things that drew me to it and the rest of us to it. We'll see.
Well, who knows? It might be the waiting for Guffman of Eurovision. In fact, I hope it is.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that too.
I think we'll save the rest of our premature feelings for the actual review show.
They're not hot takes yet, but they are coming to a boil.
Oh, they're being microwaved currently. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But yes, again, tune in to either 12 Points from America or our dear friends over at EuroWhat when those episodes are ready to be served. So,
¿por qué no los dos?
Yeah, that's the point. Crossover. Huzzah.
Yes.
We do have a last major bit of news before getting into the main topic, and it will provide a very ample segue.
Oh, yes. Who wants to take this, guys?
They done changed the rules.
What?
Only part of the rules, and it's weird.
One big rule.
So the way that I understand it is, remember in 2019 when Friend of a Friend had to have some woman just standing backstage in order to say into a microphone, I'm only a friend? Apparently, we can record those now. So tell Albert he's got to try again next year to get into the contest.
So basically, long story short, the EBU is allowing, at least as a pilot, for the 2021 contest, that backing vocals be pre-recorded. It is an option. You do, you know, from a delegation point of view, you don't have to pre-record your vocals. You can bring your backing vocalist on stage or have them hidden off stage like a lot of countries do, but the option is there. And this has divided a lot of opinions.
This is all about bodies on stage. That's what I'm convinced about it. You got three backing singers usually, and they're probably not dancing in whatever song that you're bringing to Eurovision. This is just so they can get dancers on stage, so they can get theatrical performers of all type on stage behind the singers. I'm convinced that's what this is all about. And you know what? This isn't the most radical change, but I just don't want them to change.
I think that's the feeling from a lot of folks. I think there's a lot of
Legitimate reason for this to change.
Well, I mean, with the health situation being so, you know, we don't know what things are going to look like in 11 months. We don't know if it's going to be feasible or tenable for a delegation to send six singers if they're focusing on a vocal performance, not necessarily using dancers or acrobats or contortionists or what have you, when they could send one and have five of those voices in the background. This also allows for a bit more freedom in terms of you can now have a song like Django McCroy's Grow ending with the sound of a choir rather than just a six or a five part harmony.
Wait, so just to clarify, the rule is any number of backing singers can be pre-recorded.
It seems like it.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed ambiguous in terms of numbers. So you could have a choir. This is also a boon for, not to put too fine a point on it, delegations without as much money. So if you have a main singer and five backers, you have to pay for their accommodation, flights, hotels, you know, meals, all that good stuff. If you only have the singer and you only have the money for the singer, it saves a lot of money. It, you know, slims down the number of expenses that you have.
I say, don't even send the singer. Just have a puppet on stage.
Seriously, just ask Ireland. actually, don't ask Ireland. Let's never think of that song again. Derek, let's play to a clip of it. Maddox and Sadox, it was Johnny Logan's gig. Shake your feathers and pop your feet. Shake it to the west and to the east. Wave Euro hands and Euro feet. Wave them in the air to the turkey feet. Ireland, I do the point. Ireland, I do the point. I'm sorry, I got distracted by Dustin the Turkey. But yeah, I mean, a lot of detractors are saying if you make the availability for backing vocals to be pre-recorded, then where's the soul of the contest?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a singing competition. It's
already instruments are pre-recorded. So and who's to say what the actual definition of a backing singer rather than, you know, say like a secondary vocalist, like, you know, just because there's harmonies happening doesn't make them a primary vocalist. I don't know where the line exactly is going to be drawn.
Right. It's fuzzy. It's very fuzzy.
Imagine of seeing John Lundvik perform without backing singers. Finally, we're getting rid of the thing that didn't make his act work.
Nobody's saying you can't bring backing vocalists and they can't sing live. It's the option is there.
It's just so strange that they would have picked now to introduce this strange option, because thinking back past 3 years, there's been no problem or no weirdness concerning this topic. I have to wonder why they're bringing it to the contest right now.
Well, I think I know why.
Yeah, there's a theory. Okay. Eric, why don't you take it?
Well, I think it has to do with the changing of the guard in terms of who's at the top.
Oh, sure.
Of the Eurovision food chain, as it were. The one who eats all the other contestants.
You're right. Who Jan Ullesson has been devoured by.
Yes.
Yes.
And he is, I don't remember his name.
Martin Osterdahl?
Yeah, that.
Apex predator of the EBU.
Well, he is Swedish.
He is Swedish, and this is, whether deliberately or not, a move that makes Eurovision more like Melfest.
Oh.
Because Melody Festivalen has this same rule. Backing vocals can be pre-recorded. Now, as we know, like Melfest this year, the Mamas just did all the vocals on stage, and they won. Mm-hmm. So this is not an endorsement or an anti-endorsement of this change. I'm excited about the things, the potential creativity that is going to be opened up by doing this, but it really seems like a huge fundamental change. So I don't really know how to feel about it.
It should be noted that Junior Eurovision has had this in place for years.
Mm-hmm.
That backing vocals, you can bring backing vocalists, but it's been pre-recorded for years.
Has shown us is that junior kids can't sing, so it has never mattered.
Stop listening to the last year's Portuguese song.
Hey, she's young. She knows what to do.
No, she didn't.
Okay, fine. That's true.
I'm sorry. I'm being mean. Joanna Almeida, you're a lovely young woman. We wish you all the best. You were let down by a crud song. Anyway, moving on. Like the EBU has said that this is just being piloted for 2021, but they also said Australia was just going to be a one-time deal, and we saw how that went. So we'll see what happens.
I'm resistant to any element that adds additional Swedification to this contest, and I'm pretty sure a lot of the smaller countries in Eurovision would agree with I.
But a lot of those smaller countries at Eurovision now no longer have to pay for how
this
many.
This is true. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. 2 weeks in a hotel in a place like Tel Aviv, or, you know, if we ever go to Paris, or if we're back in Scandinavia, or if Reykjavik ever hosts it.
That's true, which is increasingly likely over the past couple of years.
Yeah. Delegations will look for any opportunity to make sure that costs are spent efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think a lot of the Euro fans who see the contest as being Swedified in general see this as a big symptom of that problem. For that reason alone, I think a lot of people aren't crazy about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they just feel like it's too Sweden. There's just too much Sweden.
Mm-hmm. What are the rules about this at San Remo?
I think they have to be live, but I'm not positive. I actually am not 100% sure about that.
Okay.
All I remember, the image in my head, though, is when Occidentali's Karma was being played with the full orchestra and everything like that, the namaste, the ale was done by the orchestra itself. Like all the members of the orchestra yelled out ale.
That's awesome.
I know, it was wonderful. It was a great little moment. All the people with the violin bows just striking them in the air, just going ale. It was just this great little moment.
That's how we fixed it. I've done it. We go back to the 1970s rules. Full orchestra. Nobody performs with a band. Everyone's there. Boom. We're done.
Very little English.
Going back to the Chinggis Khan era.
I mean, then we're getting into the orchestra question. And part of me would love, love, love to have a live orchestra. But having to have to pay for a live orchestra of, you know, how many people are sitting in an orchestra? 50?
Six.
You can do an orchestra that's about 25.
Okay. So let's say it's 25. Those 25 people have to learn 42 different arrangements.
I see no problem.
Okay, then I implore you to rewatch Eurovision again, the 1991, the 1991
edition.
They had
full orchestras that late?
They had the full orchestra until 99. But 1991, watch the Greek entry called Ianixi and listen to how the live saxophonist screws up his solo so badly that he basically sunk Greece's chances.
Yeah, you know,
Iobasu was robbed.
This is the opposite of that.
And you guys listening at home, if you haven't heard the Greek entry from 91, the live version, that is your homework.
I can hear it right now. Derek!
So, I mean, for me, part of the joy of Eurovision, and especially sort of the behind the scenes part of the contest, is following the trajectories of some of these backing singers. People who you've seen in year A, like 2 years later, you see them graduate to the big stage, or I mean, they're already on the big stage, but they have the spotlight on them rather than being hidden away in some back hallway.
Where do the background singers go? Are they it like depends. Just off the side of the stage or?
It depends. Sometimes they're on the stage. Sometimes they're sort of off to the side of the stage, barely visible. I know that for Beautiful Mess, they had them basically in a corridor as you almost as you entered the stage, but not visible from any part of the televised thing.
Neat.
But I mean, I just wanted to highlight a couple of really great examples of artists who started out as backing singers and then kind of rose. And now we love them. We remember them. Back in 2008 and 2009, Hera Björk was one of the backing singers for Iceland. And then she ended up coming up to the front in 2010 with the song Je ne sais quoi.
Which that is... old Icelandic phrase.
But she's great. Hera Björk is an absolute legend. Actually, can we throw to a little bit of Je ne sais quoi?
It's got that little bit of, I don't know.
You don't know what. Looking back at the 2008 contest that we just saw for Eurovision again, I could not take my eyes off of the one of the backing singers for Georgia, who vocally, he actually kind of stood out a little bit more than I think they had probably intended in the vocal mix. But he was the male backing singer for the song Peace Will Come, a guy by the name of Henri Jokadze. And about 4 years later, in 2012, he represented the country with the unforgettable, absolutely bonkers song, I'm a Joker, looking very much like the villain from...
Batman?
No, not Casino Royale, not Spectre, what was the one? Not Quantum of Solace. Skyfall? From Skyfall, yeah. Very much like Javier Bardem's character from Skyfall. I'm a Joker, I'm a rocker.
Did he also take out his upper hard palate and have a sunken in ghoul face?
You know what? Eurovision
options
is pushing boundaries.
Time.
Yeah,
options
yeah.
For next
yeah,
time.
Yeah, they're
yes.
pushing boundaries
yes.
all the time. Yeah. A lot of the time you can have artists who would actually sing back up in one for one country and then lead for another. And we saw that for Suri. He sang for Belgium back up in 2015 and 2017, both times
How
coming in fourth place.
Her? Like I understand, you know, when you're in Europe, you've got your finger in a lot of pies just because all the countries are close together and there's a lot of, you know, collaboration. But man, how did Suri wind up singing for Belgium? What
I
act
exactly
was she
know.
Singing for?
She was singing for Loïc Notet with Rhythm Inside.
Oh, geez. Then... was she on stage even?
Yeah, she was
oh,
the
yeah.
one who actually, yeah, she was the one who stepped on Loïc's nuts in the middle of it.
Oh, that's right. She helped kick the rhythm inside.
Yes, indeed.
That song is so great. It. Let's play a quick clip of that.
Rhythm Inside. Dun, 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 dun. I put my rhythm inside, and now it's safe from bears.
Oh, classic.
But yeah, we saw Suri 2 years later singing back up for Blanche with City Lights as well, taking them to another fourth place spot. And then the following year, we saw her in Portugal singing for the United Kingdom. And now she is a legend. We love her. Suri, you're following along in the 2018 edition of Eurovision again. Tweeting along with that was great. So, yes.
You can tell she definitely benefited from being an onstage backing singer previously in that when the UK did that national final in 2018, she was clearly the best performer, live performer of the group, even if she didn't have the best song.
Oh, yeah.
Like she'd been through the motions. She knew what to do. She was much more comfortable with the process.
She knew how to perform both for the audience and for the camera.
Yeah,
it's really a skill you can't take for granted. We saw a similar setup for Caesar Sampson, actually, who sang backing for Bulgaria in 2016 and 2017.
I knew about that one, yeah.
Yep, and then he took the lead in Austria in 2018. So technically, he's come in fourth, second, and third, which might make him like one of the most successful Eurovision artists who's never actually won the thing.
It's shocking.
He's incredible.
He's a talent.
He's
established talent.
Yeah, but I still like that song.
Oh, yeah, all three of them. Nice guy, too.
If he comes back again,
stop.
He's going to win?
Oh,
or is he going to finish
two.
Fifth?
Fifth. He's got to be fifth.
Fifth, okay. Yeah,
as long as it's all good,
don't jinx him.
By the time we, yeah.
Don't jinx him. Don't jinx him.
Well, and he had written one of this year's songs, hadn't he?
He co-wrote Destinies.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that probably would have finished fifth. So,
or first? Yeah. But yeah, so another great thing about lead singers is that sometimes maybe a couple of years after they sing for their country at Eurovision as the main artist, sometimes they pop back up as backing singers later on. So Friedrich Omar, who was half of Euroband in 2008 for Iceland, actually returned the following year in 2009 and supported Joanna with Is It True, taking Iceland to a second place. And he almost returned in 2019, but you know,
yeah. He got kicked out of Hattori.
Yeah. that's a crossover.
How did he almost do that?
He came in second place in the national final, just following up second to Hattori.
I like my answer better.
That's a crossover I'd kill to see, actually. Then there are some other backing singers that you're constantly seeing behind the scenes that you just like are waiting to see them make it to the big stage. I haven't seen him at Eurovision for a couple of years, but there's an Icelandic guy named Peter Gudmundsson, who sang backup in 2000, 2006, 2008, 2010, 2012, and he composed 2013. So he was behind the scenes for all that as well. He had two songs in the national final in 2011. Like, he was everywhere for a while and really a cool guy, actually. He actually did the Icelandic voiceover work and dubbing for both Ernie and Kermit the Frog. So this is at the time when ESC Insight had Terry the puppet.
Sure.
So like the moment that we saw Terry and Peter, it was like, yes, Muppets unite. But yeah, I mean, we were kind of waiting for him to have his moment, and it might happen. He's still an active musician. And another one I wanted to kind of cherry pick, a singer by the name of Alvaro Estrella, who's Swedish, sang backup for Sweden in 2011, for Azerbaijan in 2013, Russia in 2016, Sweden in 2017, Norway in 2018. I mean, all over the place. He's a very talented singer and dancer. He actually was in this year's national final for Melodifestivalen with Vamos Amigos with DJ Mendez. So like having a Chilean Swede and a Sweden Chilean in one song, it made my former Santiago resident heart very, very happy.
So this guy's been a singer for four different countries.
Backup.
Backup singer. So he's a just a known commodity and a hired gun then?
Evidently.
How does that happen?
I think so. I mean, after a while, you get to meet people, you get to network behind the scenes. It's a great opportunity to be a backing singer at these things. You get to chat and you get to make these professional connections, and suddenly you're, you know, a friend of a friend. Hey, I know this guy who's got exactly the kind of vibe that we're looking for. He sings, he dances, and yeah.
The woman who was the backing singer for Equinox for Bulgaria in 2018.
Mia, yeah.
Yeah, she's got an incredible voice. You could see her when we were there. She was like talking to all these different people and trying to get her name out there and network. And yeah, you could see like this young burgeoning artist trying to establish herself. And it's kind of fascinating. And you imagine a lot of these artists, they work for a studio, they're on a record label, and they just kind of mercenary themselves out wherever they can.
Yeah.
So question on her, did it work? What is she up to now?
I mean, she's still recording. She's, you know, follow her on social media. Mia D is what she goes by. Yeah, she's great. She's fabulous. And I wish her all the best. Can we just rewind, though? Because I wanted to name check one of Alvaro's other songs.
Oh, yes.
Derek, I know it's one of your favorites. It didn't necessarily do great live at Melodifestivalen that year. But he had a song in 2014 that was such a freaking bop in studio. Could we play a quick clip of Bedroom by Alvaro Estrella? So come on. This is one of the reasons why I love Eurovision. Like, a national final song that didn't even make it out of the semifinal like 6 years ago is, you know, these little gold nuggets of goodness. So good. So good. One other person I kind of wanted to highlight, somebody who started out as a backing singer and then ended up becoming sort of a phenomenon among certain Eurovision circles, a guy by the name of Alex Panayi, a Cypriot singer. He started out by singing backup for Cyprus for the 1989 and 1991 contests. And then he sang lead for Cyprus solo in 95 and as a duet in 2000. Later on, he was singing backup for Greece in 2005 when Greece actually won the contest. So you could kind of, you know, maybe credit some of the win to him. Also in 2009, he sang backup for them, sang backup for Belarus in 2012. And his career has just kind of continued to grow. He has also served as either stage director or as a vocal director for a number of delegations. It seems like every single year he's behind the scenes working hands-on with different delegations, often multiples in a single year. I mean, he's been involved in every single contest from 2012 onward, as well as some previous. He was working with the Belarusians. He's worked with the Azerbaijanis, the Russians, Greece, Moldova. Yeah, I mean, he's worked with both of Sergei Lazarev's entries. But you grow. Yeah, you network, you get your name out there and you grow. And he also did one of my favorite one of my favorite junior Eurovision entries of all time, the Cypriot entry for the 2014 contest, which was such a cute little bop and frankly would have been great at the big contest. So, Ipio o Morfimera.
Did he have anything lined up for this year?
I'm not sure. Knowing him, he almost certainly did.
Okay.
Because I believe he has worked quite a lot with a lot of the Kirkorov entries. And I know that Kirkorov has had his hand in a couple of years, so it's very possible we would have seen him in 2020, and we'll probably see him in 2021.
What does it mean exactly to be a vocal director? I'm seeing he was the vocal director for Dorados.
That could be everything from vocal coaching to making sure your harmonies are tight to...
He yelled at them one time.
Hey, whatever gets you a paycheck.
Or got a credit, yeah.
Because they couldn't get that door open in time.
Probably, I'm imagining it being the audio version of what a stage director would be. You know, making sure the harmonies are tight, making sure that somebody who's doing choreography can manage the singing, which it's not easy to do both at the same time.
Yeah, Lord knows a couple of acts could really use a vocal director then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll be glad to know he was also the vocal director for, Alexeyev with Forever. I know how much you love that song.
Forever!
No, he was the director for Time by Uzari and Maimuna. That song was great.
I know.
That is easily one of my favorite non-qualifiers ever, for the record. That song's awesome.
Nice guy. And Uzari
should have directed it better.
And it should be noted, Uzari started off as a backing singer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he supported in 2011. He was literally the first Eurovision star that I ever met.
Aw.
Yeah, what was that like?
Well, everybody was really jet-lagged because we were at the airport. He was just coming off a flight from Minsk. I was coming off of my flight from the U.S. But I'm like, you're a delegation, and I find you attractive. And I was single at the time, and nothing happened. Anyway, moving on.
What could have been?
Nothing. Nothing could have been.
Aw.
It's fine. Moving on. But yeah, that is a quick look at some notable backing vocalists, and it seems like we're going to have a lot fewer of them coming up in 2021. But hopefully some delegations will keep that going, and that we will continue to have that incredible font of knowledge coming in from this level.
Hopefully.
I hope so. They're fun. Anyway, what do you guys think at home? Feel free to tell us how we're wrong. Tell us your favorite Alex Panayi moments. But yeah, hit us up on social media.
Yeah, tell us which Eurovision artist you wish would be relegated to backing vocalist status.
Or your favorite backing vocalist moment. Like the Estonian entry in 2010, that one guy falling over. That was great.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's always good when someone gets hurt.
I have so much to see this week now.
Yep, you got homework. But yeah, folks at home, hit us up on social media, 12 Points USA on Facebook or Twitter, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com, 12pointsfromamerica.com is the website. Don't forget our Redbubble. Get yourself a t-shirt. Woot!
Yeah, if you're like Danny and you're going to be incarcerated, make sure your mugshot has a picture. 12 Points from America logo.
My mugshot is going to be me smiling at the 6-foot mark and just holding up a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. It's viral marketing.
All right, Eric, send us off. Pull the trigger.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now.
Oh, and please say that if only we had a rip of the terrible sax solo.
Oh, we could.
I will personally provide one if necessary.
Is Eric going to get that? Okay, all right.
Get a saxophone?
Actually, no. Do throw to the, hey, we got the saxophone solo, and then just womp, womp.
I think that's copyright.
No, the womp, womp is copyright?
Yeah, probably. Or the...
Turns out Monsanto owns it.
The Price is Right failed.
Dump, 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 dump.
Yeah.